Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come here at Charlestown Road. Roger, this past Sunday morning, you took us back to the beginning of sorts, the beginning of Jesus calling his disciples. In Luke chapter 5, you titled it, At Your Word.
Yeah, you know, that's a thought we sometimes don't give a lot of attention to, just how did Jesus choose the apostles? And as we began a lesson, you know, there was no job fair, there was no interviews, there was no resumes submitted. But there was a powerful miracle that takes place as Peter, James, and John had been fishing all night and caught nothing. And they were there at the Sea of Galilee just taking care of their nets. And after Jesus finishes some teaching, he tells them to cast out into the deep, lower their nets. And what they brought up filled up both boats full of fish and almost made them sink. And at that time, they realized this is someone special. And they left everything and started following Jesus.
Yeah. You and I both have been watching a series that is available online called The Chosen. And while, of course, we realize that is simply an adaptation of some of the things we see in Scripture, scenes like this, when they're depicted, are just amazing to watch on the screen, to imagine what it would have been like to have a couple of boats full of fish. Things like that, the more we can put ourselves in the sandals, as it were, of these original men, and envision what it would have been like to see that, just really, really, really impressive. One of the things that you brought out, of course, was these were just ordinary guys. This was not the elite down in Jerusalem. These were not the greatest citizens up in the region of the Sea of Galilee. And so let me ask, of all the people he could have called first, why fishermen?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, if we were running a campaign and we really wanted to make a big scene on the world, we would start probably in Rome, which was the capital of the whole empire, capital of the world. Jesus didn't go to Rome. We would have started next in Jerusalem, which is the capital of the Jewish faith. He didn't start there. Here around the Sea of Galilee were these small fishing villages, common everyday people, but people who believed, people who are hardworking, people who are not lazy, people like you and I. And that's really the backbone of God's kingdom. In the book of Mark, when he gave that great commission to these very apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single person. So it's not just for the elite. This is not the motto of the Marines. We're looking for a few good men. God's looking for everyone, and that included those fishermen.
Yeah, there are ordinary people listening to this podcast episode. There are ordinary people behind the microphones of this podcast.
Yes.
But that is good news, that Jesus is willing to save and transform and even use ordinary people in the building of his kingdom. Ordinary people just like you and me. Well, you noted how Peter and his fellow fishermen on this particular day, they were worn out, they were discouraged, they were getting nowhere. So why wouldn't Jesus wait until they were having a better day to call them to follow him?
And that's just our nature. You know, when someone has a bad day, we kind of want to leave them alone and let them get their attitude right, and then we'll be back with them. But sometimes when one is down and out and they're hurting, that's when God seems to be the most real, and that's when we listen. Had Peter, James, and John had a remarkable catch of fish on their own, and Jesus had cast out into the deep and get more fish, they might say, we don't need to. Well, we're done. We got what we needed. We're satisfied. But they weren't satisfied. And that's where God really gets to us, because life hurts sometimes. And we look at things and we think, is this it? And we go to that cemetery and we think, is that the end of the journey? And it's at those times in our lives that God's word really strikes a chord with our hearts. And so I think that's why he did that. They were down. They were discouraged. Things were not going well for them. They were going to go home without any money that day because they caught no fish. But Jesus was there, and Jesus reminded them that there are greater things to do.
You and I have both heard people say, I'm interested in Jesus. I can see myself following him at some point, but I really feel like I need to get my act together first. And nowhere in Scripture do we ever see someone coming to Jesus broken, desperate, and Jesus saying, listen, I appreciate you coming, but why don't we give this a few days, a few weeks, a few months? Why don't you work on yourself and kind of get everything together and then come back? Because right now, I don't want to be seen with you following me. Never, ever do we see Jesus doing that.
Jesus is called the great physician, and it's kind of a modern thing we're into today that you go to the doctor for a yearly checkup, you may feel fine. That didn't happen back then. The time you went to see the doctor is when you weren't feeling well. And so who is it that needs Jesus? It's those who are broken, those who are sick, those who are hurting, which really is all of us in different degrees.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciated how in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, you pointed us in the direction of a couple of different translations. We all probably have our favorite English translations, but it's helpful to look at different ways this has been rendered by very scholarly people, and that just fleshes out our understanding maybe of what Jesus was saying. So Jesus tells these fishermen, Jesus, the son of a carpenter, to fishermen who are worn out and discouraged and they've had a bad night, why don't you go back out into the deep and see what you are able to catch? And we get a hint of Peter's skepticism, right? We have it translated, nevertheless, or at your word I will, or at your bidding. He's not sure this is a good idea, and yet he's willing to follow Jesus' lead. Now, sometimes we, 2,000 years later, we've got days that we just don't feel like it. We have days where following Jesus, doing the right thing, it just feels like a grind. And so on those days when we've got to push ourselves, what sort of things do we need to remember?
Well, what we see here in Peter, you know, Peter kind of throws up some reasons why what the Lord says isn't going to work. I mean, we've already been working hard, he says. We've worked all night long, he says. We caught nothing. You are the carpenter. I'm the fisherman. You know wood. I know this sea. But there was something about Jesus that made Peter trust. There was something about him that says, you know what? At least I'm going to give it a try. Nevertheless, I will. He didn't say, no, I'm going to go home. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Nevertheless, I will, he said. And so sometimes when we just don't feel like doing things, we need to remember it's the right thing to do. It's always the right thing. And what we do that honors God, praises God, it helps others. And what I found personally in my own life, I've had so many other people tell me this, especially about worship. There's some Sundays you just don't feel like coming. Life is hard. You may not just be in the best mood whatsoever. But you go to worship and a prayer is offered in a certain way. A song is sung. Something is said is in the class or the sermon. And all of a sudden you leave feeling so much better than when you came. And had you not have that spirit, nevertheless, I will, you would have missed that. And so how we get through those moments is realizing, okay, it's not about me, and I really need to do what God wants me to do, so I will.
You mentioned Jesus describing himself as the great physician earlier. Physicians a lot of time tell us to do things we don't feel like doing, but they're telling us for our good. And the more that we mature, hopefully, even on those days when we don't feel like starting the day off with Bible reading. We've got an inbox full of emails, and here's a jumpstart daily that, you know, there's probably something good worth thinking about in there, but I've got so many other things that are begging for my attention, or, you know, it just, I'm not sure that prayer is the best way for me to spend the next few minutes. How powerful when we remember what God has told us, He has told us for our good. And if we will trust Him, in spite of everything else that's going on around us, nevertheless, I will follow the lead of this great physician. What He's told us for our good, for a reason. Kind of hand in hand with that, one of your foundational points was the Lord knows more than we do. Most of us, we like knowing things. We like being in the know. What's going to happen? What's on the horizon? How the best way to approach coming obstacles. But why is this really good news that the Lord knows more than I do?
The Lord sees the end, and the Lord can do things that you and I cannot do. And I think that helps us. And again, it kind of ties in with our nevertheless question just before. You know, 10 years from now, a lot of the things that we're doing today really won't matter. 100 years from now, what really will matter will be whether I put God first in my life. And so the Lord knows more than we know. And so the Lord knows what's going to work. The Lord knows how we can be strong. The Lord knows the value of fellowship and the importance of worship. And sometimes we can talk ourselves out of those things. We think we know everything, but we really don't. And sometimes we see, well, there's no harm in doing this. And God has warned us about this. The Lord knows more than we really know. And when we stretch this out to the future, you know, if we knew exactly how and when and the day and the hour we were going to die, that would frighten most of us. And a lot of us would just be shut down. We'd be so fixed on that date, we couldn't do anything. God knows when He's going to call us, and we just trust Him, and we have today. And if we're given tomorrow, then we'll just keep on doing what the Lord wants us to do. But we can see that there is a God who's already into tomorrow. There's a God who's already into eternity. And our hope and our trust is in Him. He can do things that we cannot do.
How amazing that day Jesus calls Peter, James, and John. He knows everything about them. He knows everywhere they've been. He knows every ounce of their past. But He also knows every aspect of their future. He knows that Peter, this fisherman, is in just a few years going to stand in the heart of Jerusalem and call people to repent and be baptized in the name of this Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. He knows that this fisherman, John, is going to be the first of the apostles to die. James, for the sake of the kingdom, going to be killed with a sword by Herod. He knows that John is going to be exiled as a very old man on the Isle of Patmos for the sake of the kingdom. Jesus knows all of this, and yet, like a good parent, like a physician, gives these men exactly what they need in the moment because they need to be built up to that, right? They need to go through this training. And I think it's foolish for us to act as if the Lord doesn't know things about us and that He needs to bring us along. Build us up. Our theme this year at Charlestown Road is rise and build. And we talk about that in a variety of different ways. But part of that is the building of our own individual lives, our character, our integrity. And we're building that up now in order to hopefully serve in even greater capacities in the future.
And I think the Lord knows individually what we need.
Yeah.
He has put people in our life because we need those people. Just like a parent with children, you know, there's one child you can tell to him one time and that child's going to do it. There's another child you can blow the trumpets at and he's still not moving. And so, the Lord knows how our character are and our characteristics and our mannerisms, and he knows what we need to get us to heaven. And so we need to trust him. And we need to listen to him. And we need to realize however we're wired, however we're shaped, God wants us to fulfill his will and live for him.
So for a lot of us, the unknown is the stuff of our greatest fears. You and I have noticed here, I think on several recent podcast episodes, Jesus saying very straightforwardly, do not be afraid. He said it right here in this context, Luke chapter 5 and verse 10. And so here on an ordinary Wednesday, whatever is going on in our lives, is there a sense that Jesus is still saying to me, to you, to everyone who is listening, do not be afraid?
Absolutely, because there's so many things that scares us. And the greatest one is the unknown. I just don't know what's going to happen today. Definitely, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're uncertain about what's going to happen to our children. We're uncertain about the economy, and just on and on and on. The list can go. Will we have a job next year? We're uncertain about certain things. But the idea that Jesus tells us not to be afraid because we are to trust him. And I think two great passages that kind of illustrate that is Psalms 23. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, he says. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, he promises, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And so we don't know what's going to happen today, but you know what? God hasn't changed. The God that was with Abraham, the God that was with Noah, the God that was with our Lord, he was with us as well. And so we will be strengthened through God. We will be helped through God. And to see that this world is just temporary. What is really matterful and what's really important is a spiritual life and walking with Jesus.
In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening in our Wednesday evening summer series, right?
Absolutely. We continue our summer series with guest preachers, and our theme is How Firm a Foundation. And that foundation, when it's strong, will get you through those scary moments. It will get you through those dark nights. And tonight we have Gary Kerr speaking for us. He comes from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and he's going to talk about Jesus as our refuge, Jesus as a safety, a shelter. And in that wonderful lesson, he's going to illustrate for us how important it is that we have that firm foundation built upon the scriptures.
That's at 7 o'clock this evening, Wednesday evening, July the 21st. We would love to have you, even if you're in our community. We would love for you to be our guest. Maybe this would be the very first time you have visited with us. We would love to see you. We have regular Bible classes for infants all the way through 6th graders. 7th graders on up will be in the auditorium, and this has already been a great series for the summer. I've got the privilege of preaching, Lord willing, this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., and I'm going to wrap up this little series that I've been doing that bounced off of our vacation Bible school, taking in the view from a variety of mountains in the Bible. We've looked at the view from Mount Ararat and Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel, the Mount of Transfiguration. This evening, we're going to scale the greatest mount, or I should say not this evening, but this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., we're going to scale the greatest mountain of all. We're going to take in the view from Mount Zion. Several very significant things historically happened there, but this is the mountain to which Christians really are pointed, symbolically, figuratively. There are some great, great lessons to learn there. But also on Sunday, Roger will be meeting at 5 o'clock p.m. and continuing.
Chair series. We started last Sunday evening, and we're going to continue that for several more Sunday nights. If you're not familiar with that, we'd encourage you to come visit us or watch us on our live stream. We've moved the pulpit out. We have a couple chairs up there, and Jason and I, in a conversational tone, we just look at some subjects. And we're not just kind of just doing this to fill the time. We're looking at some very, very tough subjects and trying to look at it from a biblical standpoint, asking questions of each other that kind of get us thinking about what does God say about these topics. Our theme for this chair series is, I know the Bible says, but. And that's why we're a lot of people say, well, I've read my Bible, I see that, but culture tells me something else. Why can't I do what culture says? And when we have that opposite there, what is the answer to some of those specific questions? And that's what we're going to continue on this coming Sunday evening.
A lot to be excited about this summer at Charlestown Road. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope in the middle of this week it has helped you set your mind on things above. We would love to see you this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.